The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Seitze. The Torah starts with a parsha of Yifas Toar. States Ki Seitze La Milchoma La Yevecha. When the Sonei Hashem Elokecha Biyadecha, Yishavisa Shivyoi. When you go to war against your enemies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them over into your hands, and you capture captives, and you'll see in the captives a woman who's beautiful. And you will desire her. You shall take her as a wife. You can take her as a wife. You shall take her into your house. You should shave off her hair and let her nails grow. And exchange the garments that she has. Rashi brings that by the goyim they used to put on beautiful garments for the soldiers, so you should put on shabby garments on her. And she shall dwell in your house. Weep for her father and mother for 30 days. And then you can come to her, and she can be your wife. And if after that you don't want her, then you send her out on her own. You're not allowed to sell her. You're not allowed to be meshabed, to enslave her, because you have afflicted her. This is the parsha which is known as Yifas Toar. Last year we gave a shiur on this, but unfortunately it didn't come out in its entirety on the tape. So I'm going to give this shiur over again this year. I hope it'll come out this time on the tape. Well, we'll broaden it a little, we'll add to it. But it's a very important topic. Not so much the Yifas Toar itself, that's not relevant today, but what we can learn from it. Rashi tells us that this woman that you're taking is Mi'umei Sa'ilam. She's from other nations. Why are you allowed to take her? Le'dibra Tere Ele Keneged Yetzohora. The Torah here is addressing the Yetzohora of the person. She'imein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matira Yis'ena Be'isher. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not permit the person to take her, then he will take her even though she is forbidden. Then Rashi says, but all right, this is the principle. That the Torah here is permitting something which is forbidden because of the Yetzohara, because of the nature of the person, or the evil nature that he has in him. And if the Imlo, Shima Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matira, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not permit her, Yisa Ena B'Yisa. The person will take her anyhow when it's forbidden. Therefore, it's better you should take her when it's muteris. The Gemara in Masechta Kedushin, Daf Chof Aleph, Omid Beis, the Gemara says a little more. This is at the very end of Chof Aleph Amid Beis, Le Dibre Tere Ele Keneged Yetzohara. Mutav Sheyechlu Yisrael Bosa Timoseis Shchuteis. It is better that a person, for example, if a person is coming to eat, and there's an animal which is Mesukenis, an animal which is old and dying. That's called Bosa Timoseis. That's not a desirable animal to eat. But it's better that a person should eat that and it's shchuta, and it's shechted properly, than to eat something that's not shechted properly. The same thing here. Rashi says, in the Gemara in Kedushin, he says that the Bosa Temusais is Mous. Bosa Mesukenes, which is Mous, which is something which is very rejectable to the person. Nevertheless, it's permitted. So here the Torah said that it's better that a person should take something or someone, even though it's entirely not desirable, and even though it's very rejectable and very ma'usa, in a situation of heter, where it's permitted, than to take someone in a situation where it's forbidden. So therefore, the Torah permitted her. Now, what this means is this woman is forbidden to this person, to the soldier. Why is she forbidden? This is a whole sugyas in the Gemara. According to many Rishonim, the Torah permits you to have relationships with her immediately before you take her and go through the whole procedure that's mentioned in the Torah, where you leave her in your house for 30 days and she weeps for her father and mother. And then the halacha is that you megayer her, you convert her, and you can take her as a wife. So according to those Rishonim that hold that relationships are permitted immediately, at least one relationship, so the Torah is permitting you to have a relationship with a goya, with a non-Jewish woman. And we will, in a minute, we'll speak a little more about that. According to other Rishonim, you're not permitted to have relationships with her right away. You have to go through Kol HaMaisim HaLolu. You have to go through the whole Seder HaParish and take her home, and whatever the Torah tells us. And then you Megayah her, you convert her. Then you're allowed to take her. But so why then is the Torah permitting something which is forbidden? She's a Geyoris. She's a convert. The answer is because you can be Megayah her against the will. So it's a forced conversion. And we do not find forced conversions in the Torah. The only place where we find a forced conversion in the Torah is where you have a slave, a non-Jewish slave. And then you can forcibly convert him where he becomes a total Jew. But otherwise we do not find it. So here, even though it's not a genuine conversion, still the Torah constituted that it would be because of this case, and therefore you're permitted to marry her, although even though there would be a negative amendment of Leis Yischatenbom, that we are not allowed to marry non-Jews. So whether we learn, like those Rishonim or others, there's a possibility that this could even be a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel in the Yishalmi. The Torah here permitted an Isur. And that's why the Gemara says Chidushu. Lulei Zeis, without this Parsha, you wouldn't be able to do such a thing. So, why? In order to address your Yetzahora. From the Rambam, it seems that we find this in another place in the Torah, where the Torah permitted an Isher in order to address your Yetzer Hara. And where is that? In Parshas Veschanan, Perek Vov, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Torah says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you conquer the land, and there will be Orim, Ashele Boniso, you will come into cities that you have not built. Uboti Maleim Kol Tuv, Asher Le Mileso. And you will find houses which are full of all kinds of good things, which you never placed there. Uboires Chatzuvim. And you will find cisterns which are dug out, Ashele Chatzavto, that you did not dig. The Chalta Veshavoto. You're allowed to eat and satisfy yourself with whatever you find. So the Gemara says, what do you mean with whatever you find? You're allowed to eat whatever you find. Well, yes, Torah permitted it. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Afilu kasli de chazerim. Even bacon. Ham. Kasli de chazerim. You come into the houses. They have hams hanging there. The Gemara says that was a delicacy. Dried out pig meat, you're allowed to eat it. And what does it mean in the Boros? Wine, you're allowed to take from their wine. Now, not all Rishonim learn that this was because the Torah was addressing the Yetzer Hara. In general, the Torah permitted it. We don't know why. By Yefas Torah, yes, there the Gemara learns from a posuk that it's because the Torah is addressing the Yetzer Hara. But the Rambam seems to learn that also is a similar case, because he brings both in the same halacha. In the Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, Perches, the Rambam says as follows, Chalutzitz for soldiers of the army, when they come into the lands of the Goyim, the Yichbishum, the Yoshuva Mehen, Yishbu Mehen, and they go and they conquer them, and they take captives. Muter lehen leachel neveles utreifes ubasar chazir. They're allowed to eat neveles, that's animals that are not shechted, treifes, animals that are considered treif, pig meat, ukiyetzibo, and so forth. If they're hungry and they can't find what to eat. Now the Rishonim bring here, he doesn't mean where it's a sakona. Doesn't mean where there's a danger to life. Because then everything is permitted all over. It means the way the Rambam learns that if they have kosher food in front of them, then they shouldn't eat that. But if they don't have kosher food in front of them, they don't have to go look for kosher food. They can eat all of this. And they're allowed to drink the wine also, the Yayin Esach. Yayin Esach means not what we call Yayin Esach. Our wine is not Yayin Esach, the wine of the Goyim. Our wine is Exeira Mishum Yayin Esach, is Exeiras Rabbonin because of Yayin Esach. Yayin Esach is Takrevis Averes Zora, is wine which was used to sprinkle in front of their idols as part of their worship. That's what Yayin Nesach is. So they're allowed to drink it, even though that's a very, very severe Isra, prohibition. Mipi Ashmu Alomdu, and he says, this is what we learn from the Posse Guboti Maleim Kol Tuv, house is full of the best things, Arpe Chaziri Mekiyetzibo, the meat of a Chazir, and so forth. Then he brings the second halacha, v'chein ba'el isha be'geyusim tok for Yisrael. And so could he take a woman that he captured in the army, in the war, if his Yetzer Hara wants her, and so forth. And then he brings the dini yafas to'ara. So it seems that the Rambam learns the two halachas of the similar principle, and that would be The halacha is leidibur etera elekanek and yetzohara. The Torah is addressing the yetzohara of the person. Im leyatireno yechlena b'isur. If the Torah doesn't permit it, he'll do it anyhow. Now, these isurim, these prohibitions that the Torah permits, are not light prohibitions. According to many Rishonim, and Tosfos is amongst them, in Masechet Satan, Daf Lamed Bov, Omer Aleph, the prohibition of taking a woman that you find in battle is the prohibition of Baal Aramis, of taking a daughter of an idolater, who's an idolatress, where it is known to others why you're taking her, and on that there's a chiyuv miso, is deserving of the capital punishment. Kanoim pegim boy. If there's a kanoi, if there's a zealot, he can kill. This was the case of Pinchas and Zimri. The Osameach brings that on Yai Nesech also, that the Rambam is referring to, is also a din of Yohorek Val Yavor, where one should give his life before desecrating it, because it's Takrevis Avedizor, it has to do with Avedizor, with idolatry. So on both of these, had the Torah not permitted them, one would be obligated to give his life rather than be forced to transgress these averus. So we're talking about very, very great isurim, chamurim, severe isurim. Still, the Torah permitted it because it was addressing the Yetzohara. So this is the principle that we see from our parsha, and also that parsha in Vayeschanan. Now we can ask a question. This is a great tema. It's a great wonder. Why is the Torah permitting something which is osur, which is prohibited, and especially if it's an isha chamura, such a severe isha, because of the yetzohara? Well, then you have taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. There's the yetzohara by all of these. We don't find this in any other place. We don't find this generally. I mean, the person is obligated to conquer his yetzohara. And if that's the case, then ain't it over sof? By every Easter, Shabbos, it's a great yetzohara to keep your shop open on Shabbos. You can make a lot of money. All right, so we'll say, Dibur Teira Keneged Yetzohara, we've got to address the yetzohara. When it comes to all of these things. So why Dafki here? I've mentioned many times, this is a kasha that I've had for years, and I've never found anyone address this question, except I found it once in the Torah Tamima. He says an answer, but I'm not so happy with the answer that he says. I would say the answer is because the reason why the Torah is concerned here is because it's Shas Milchoma. We're talking about soldiers on the battlefield. And what does that mean? When soldiers go out on the battlefield, the Torah instructed them that they have to go there to win. And that means they have to go to kill. The fact is, many times in the Torah it states, Lo Yerachim. Do not be compassionate on them, because they will not be compassionate on you. In fact, as we find by a similar halacha, Iran Didachas, where we are obligated to wipe out a whole city because they're idolaters. This is by a Jewish city. So it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you rachamim. He will give you compassion. What does that mean? He will give you compassion. So I once heard it from Rabbi Loy, but later on there was... Actually, the Stropker Rebbe showed me, it was in the Or Chaim, that you can't command someone, you can't kill without the emotion of cruelty. You can't tell someone, stay cool and calm, but blow his head off. It doesn't work that way. Maybe in the movies it works that way. See, but not with normal people. Person is not a robot. Can't tell, strangle him until he dies. But it's a mitzvah. So keep cool. Be happy. Doesn't work that way. I once had a teacher in school who was a Marine. So he told us things that they don't tell you in the books. And when I told it to other people, they won't believe it. He says, they taught us how to be animals. They taught us how to be animals. And when you became an animal, then they let you go to action. If you didn't, they sent you back home. Because you had to be an animal to survive. You have to be able to lose touch with all human emotions. Otherwise, you're not going to be a soldier. You should tell that to people. They say it's stories. It's not stories. Other things are stories. That's why the Or Chaim said that when you're commanded to wipe out a city, especially a Jewish city, so there's no rachmonis left in you. Otherwise, how can you do it? So v'nosan l'cho rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you he'll give you your rachmonis back. You need a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, this is the big problem with so many wars in Eretz Yisrael. Because we have to train our people to be killers. And that's not so easy to get out of the system. The fact is, in America, almost all of your mass killings, and serial killings and things like that were all dated back to people who were fighting in Vietnam. Because you train someone to be a killer. You can't push the button and say you're discharged from the army now and you're no longer a killer. Doesn't work that way. So the same thing here. You send someone out to the battlefield. You tell them, it says, Kol Zocher, every male you must kill. If they don't make peace with you. If they want war, then every male you must kill. You're not allowed to leave one left over. Females, you take as slaves. Do not be merachim on them. So shaschimum, the heat of the battle. So now you turned a human being into an animal. So how do you expect him to control his yetzirah? You just took all his controls away from him. Therefore, here the Torah addresses the yetzirah. Here, when it comes to the Ifas Torah, or here, according to the Rambam, when it comes to Bati Malayim Kol Tuv, houses which are full of all goodness. At any rate, what we do see from here now is a very important principle. And that is we must be careful from placing on a person more than he can deal with. Torah saw he can deal, if he's a soldier, he can deal with war. But it's going to have to be too much for him to deal with these other things. So therefore we have to make a dispensation at that time. We see how the Torah is working. If we won't, keep this in mind. If we won't, take in mind human limitations, then it'll do b'isur. You'll go ahead and do it b'isur. You'll do it anyhow, even though it's forbidden. Therefore, we must take into consideration human limitations. This is what we see from here. Now, we must also learn from here. This is our obligation to learn from the Torah, the principles of the Torah. It's the whole purpose of the Torah. We must also learn from here. Now, it's true. We cannot go and permit what the Torah explicitly forbids, where we weren't granted permission to do so. But nevertheless, within the confines of the Torah, we must learn this principle. Take into consideration human limitations. Do not make things too difficult where they can be made easier. Because if you make things too difficult, then they'll reject everything. You make the Torah too difficult for these soldiers, they'll say, all right, finished, I'm not interested. They'll do it anyhow. And so what principle are we speaking about? That a person has to, in his Avodas Hashem, when it comes to mitzvahs, to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to find ways where he can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a sustainable way, and not where he accepts more than he can carry, where there would be the danger that he'll reject everything. Tafasta merubah, lei tafasta. Gemara says, if you try to grab too much, you end up with nothing. Tov mi'at sheyuchal linseya meharbe ve'yipol tachtov. It's better to carry a small load that you can carry than try to carry a big load that you will fall under. Tov bosa to Moses, Mo'us. Torah said it's better that he should eat this type of meat, even though it's highly rejectable, but at least it's heter. It's very, very far from a mitzvah min amuvcher or a hidur mitzvah. Then eating something which is not kosher at all. In other words, it's a mitzvah to lighten the load of the person or his own load in order that there will be something sustainable and he can have tzatzlocha, success in his Avedis Hashem. This is the principle that we see from here. And this is a principle that our sages have learned from here. They've learned maybe from other sources also, because they repeat this over and over and over again. And I'd like to cite a few examples this evening. In general, firstly, our sages have told us in the Gemara and Barachas and a few Zayin. The Gemara says, Magala Bapuma Dabaya. It doesn't say Omar Abaya, Abaya said. It says Magala Bapume Dabaya. That means Abaya would always say. What would he always say? He would say, a person should always, when it comes to Yiras Hashem, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should always go with a strategy. Orma means with a strategy and a cunningness. What does that mean? Rashi says as follows. Laharim b'chol minei orma liyirais bayrei. He should use every aid possible, every strategy possible, all cunningness to cause him to succeed in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Two reasons. First of all, Avodas Hashem is a heavy avoda. It's a heavy oil. It's the heaviest toll that we are given in our whole lifetimes. If you set up a business, a little business, a big business, even a big business, you have to go with seichel. You have to constantly think. You have to have strategies. You have to have plans. You have to have assessments. You have to have reassessments. You have to have management meetings. You need supervisions. So how much more so when it comes to Avedas Hashem and how to succeed? And then he brings a pasuk on that. Secondly, though, when Avedas Hashem is more, because you have the Yetzirah. The Gemara says that every day the Yetzirah gets up and wants to destroy the man. And all of the time the Yetzirah comes with a new strategy. A new strategy. And if you notice, in every generation there's a different strategy. There were times when great philosophers were drawing Jews away. There were times when great scientists were drawing Jews away. Times secular education was drawing Jews away. There were times when pogroms were drawing Jews away. There were times when materialism, that's the Yetzirah. It says every time the Yetzirah comes up with a new strategy. So if he comes up with a new strategy, then you have to come up with a new strategy all of the time. So that's why it states, Le'olam, a person, Margala Bapuma, Baya would always say this. He has to be Orem B'Yireh. Now he gives, Manerach Meshiv Chema. One example he gives is, Marberach, Manerach Meshiv Chema. Shlema Melech said that, how to avoid Machlekes. He gave a good answer, how to avoid Machlekes. Someone starts to attack you and he starts to yell at you and this and that, this and that. So what is your first reaction? Yell back and say, what are you talking about? And this and that. Shlaima Melech said, no, that's not Orum B'Yira. That's not a good strategy. Because what's happening then is that that's like there's a fire and you come and you pour fuel on it. You're not going to put the fire out. Now, Shlaima Melech said, Manerach Meshiv Chema. If you say, speak, keep quiet, and you'll answer back very softly, you'll see the fire immediately will go down. Now, what is he? He's giving us an etz, he's giving us a strategy, how to avoid machlekes. It takes two to make a machlekes. So if you just withdraw, and you answer very softly, then, first of all, you can't have machlekes with yourself. And secondly, you cool everything down. The idea is to cool things down, not to heat it up. Bidvar etzem yale off. But if you answer back sharply, that only is going to make the fires rise higher. Then he gives a few answers. He says, oh, for example, marbe sholim imechov, im krevov, im kol odom. Go out of your way to make good relations with your brothers and your relatives. If a person will go out of his way to make good relations with his brothers and relatives, he will have shalom bayis. If he has shalom bayis, he comes to all kind of mitzvahs. If there's no shalom bayis, you come to all kind of averus. Bim kol echov. And everyone, go out of your way to make good relations with them. And then you'll see all of the mitzvahs you'll have, all of the Avedis Hashem. Vafilim nochri b'shuk. And even with a non-Jew in the shuk. Kidei she'ov l'malav v'nechmar l'mato. And if you become beloved to all people, he says this is the greatest way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yei mekubel ha'abriyos. People that people like, people will like you. Omro lova Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai shelei higdimei odem sholem me'eilam vafilu nochri b'shuk. They said on Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that nobody ever greeted him first. He was first to greet every person, even the non-Jew, in the marketplace. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai was the Gadol HaDor. He was the prince of the nation. Now these are etzos. These are strategies. To be or besides the midos tovos, but there are also strategies that will bring you to success in Avodas Hashem. I read where Rabbi Cheskel Sana, the Hevron Rosh Yeshiva, Olam HaSholem. The whole Chevron Rosh Hashiva. He was a Talmud from Rabbi Eliezer Gordon. He said this was one of the flagships from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. One of the flagships of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was this Maimer. And that's why Rabbi Yisrael held that when he saw changes of winds coming through Europe, he said, we have to change. He was a great changer. He says, we can't carry on the same way. Just because we walk this way all the time now. We walk this way, but the Yetzer Hara is more clever. He keeps changing. They saw change of winds coming through Europe. All of a sudden they were pushing for, there was the Maskilim. There were those who were pushing for secular education and not so much yeshivas. There were those that were pushing for secular Zionism. There was socialism coming through the world. There was the liberation of the ghettos. There was the modernism, the culture. He says, we can't carry on the same way. These are all forces of the Yetzer Hara. We have to change to know how to cope with it. And he went all over Europe. He went even to Germany and other places, to France. So the Yecheskel Sana says this was one of his big flagships. And he writes this, that he says this is what the Gaon meant when the Gaon said that someone who learns Musar, but he doesn't know the ways of the world, he says, it's a waste of time. Because when he goes out into the world, he won't know anything. This is how he interprets what the Gaon writes then. He says, it's like planting seeds where, without covering them up, where the birds will come and eat it. Because you have to understand the ways of the world if you want to live in the world. And the ways of the world are always changing, and therefore you have to change your strategy and how to survive in the world. And we're just like a business. A businessman will know exactly what I'm talking about, because the market forces are constantly changing. So if you want to run a good business, you've got to constantly change your strategy to deal with the changing market forces. It's the same thing in Avedis Hashem. Now, an example of this, where we see that Chazal always kept this in mind. There's a Gemara in Perek Bame Madlikin, Daf Chof Aleph, Seif Amad Beis, the Sugi of Hanukkah. The Gemara says, Gemara is talking that Gemara wants to introduce a certain chumrah, a certain stringency in Ner Chanukah. That it would be better if the Ner Chanukah would be higher than 10 tefachim high, not too low. 10 tefachim is, how much would that be in meters? 1 meter. It should be higher than 1 meter, not too low. So the Gemara responds. It says, we're not so sure we can make such a halacha. Why? Because I mitracha le tuva, osi lemimnoi mitzvah. Because if we're going to make too many rules and regulations, too many stringencies, you'll come not to do the mitzvah at all. So leave it. There we see the same thing. That the Chazal were menea. They restrained themselves from making a certain halacha that would have been preferable, because it'll be too much for the person. So it'll be machbid olov. His avoda will be too heavy. And if the mitzvah becomes too heavy, that's the way to be mevatel mitzvahs, not to be makayim mitzvahs. That's the way to destroy mitzvahs, not to fulfill mitzvahs. Better he should fulfill it in an easy way. Better he should carry a small load which he can carry than a heavy load that he might fall under. Another example, the Gemara brings in Masechta Aveda Zora, in Perek Ein Mamid in Daf Lamed Vov. Gemara says, there were Yudches Tvorim, Beishamin, Beishilo, got together, and they made 18 decrees. And these decrees were very, very famous decrees. And actually, Daniel, the Gemara brings, was involved in these decrees. Amongst these decrees, the Gemara brings, it says, Piton, Vishamnon, and Yenon, Ubenaisehan, Kulan, Mishmenos, Adovrahim. They said, Pasakum. You're not to eat bread that was baked by a goy, even though it's kosher. Each one had its conditions and all of its halachas, but so forth. Samnon. You're not allowed to buy oil from a goy, olive oil from a goy, even though you know it's kosher. Yenon. You're not allowed to buy wine that's made by a goy, even though you know it's kosher. No non-kosher ingredients, and he didn't use it for Avedis order. Kulan Mishmeinos Adoverhein. These were some of these 18 decrees. Then the Gemara brings Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi came along in later generations, and they rescinded some of these decrees. One was Pasakum. They rescinded the decree of bread made baked by a goy. Another was Shamnon. They rescinded the decree of oil that was made by a goy. So the Gemara comes along, not the one by wine, says, but the Gemara comes along and asks the question. Gemara says, Heichi motzi lemishtei takamta the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel. How could Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, with his bezdin, come along to rescind these decrees which were made by Shammai v'Hillel? Shammai v'Hillel were so many generations before, and they were much greater. But nan in bezdin yochel levatel divrei bezdin chaveiro elim ken godlei mena b'choch v'minyan. One bezdin cannot rescind what another bezdin made unless that bezdin is greater than the previous one. And they weren't greater than Hillel v'Shammai. V'yayid ha'omar Rabba b'bachano aber b'yechenen b'chol yochel levatel bezdin divrei bezdin chaveiro chutz mishmeino sedove sha'afil yove Eliyahu v'bezdin ein shemin lei. And also, that Yudches Tvorim, those decrees were very, very special. And the Gemara says that even a greater bezdin, and even if Eliyahu comes, he cannot rescind them. So how did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in his bezdin rescind them? Omav Reb Meshashoy, Matam, is Shemen, Matam, or Ilu Poshad Yisura Berev Yisrael, Shemen Le Poshad Yisura Berev Yisrael. Domer Rav Shmuel Barama, Omer Rav Yechnan, Yosh V'Rabbeseinu, Ubotka Al Shemen Shle Poshad Yisura Berev Yisrael. When can't you rescind a prior decree? That's where it became accepted by the majority of Israel. But if it's a decree which does not become accepted by the majority of Israel, because it's too difficult for them, then you can rescind it. It doesn't have a halacha of a gzeir, of a decree. And they went and they found that the majority of Israel was not adhering to the decree of Shemen, and the same thing to the decree of pas, of bread. B'somchu Rabbeinu al divrei Reb Shimon Gamliel v'al divrei Reb Elazar b'Reb Tzadik sho'a emrim. And they based their thinking on what Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Elazar b'Reb Tzadik said. Ein geizrin zera al atzibor elim keim reiv tzibor yechein lamayt bo. That the bezdin hagodl, the Sanhedrin's hagdelo, they have no jurisdiction, no authority to issue a decree that the majority of Israel will not find it acceptable. And if they do issue such a decree that they thought would have been acceptable, but they found out in the end that it wasn't, that the majority of the Israel did not practice it, then it's bottled. It's rescinded. This is what the Gemara says. The Rambam brings this halacha. The Rambam says in Perek Beis of Hilchis Mamrim, halacha Hein Vov. One minute, this is the wrong Rambam here. Here we go. Bezdin shenira lehen ligzog zera or lesakin takono or lahanig minog. A bezdin that to them it seemed right to make such a decree or a takona, some type of improvement, or to enact some type of minog, some type of custom. Tzrichin lishashev bedover liyeda tchila imrei vatzibu yechid lamed ben. They're not allowed just to go make it. They come and they sit down and they say, this would be very, very good to do. We have to enact it. Not allowed to enact it. Secondly, Shashay Bedover. They have to discuss and they have to give thought whether Imrei Vatzibur Chen Lamed Bay. How will this affect the majority of the Tzibur? If they'll be able to cope with it, or if they won't be able to cope with it. They do not have the jurisdiction, never, to make a decree on the Tzibor, where the Tzibor, the majority of the Tzibor of the people cannot cope with it. What happens if they did by mistake? They make a decree, and they thought, look, this will be easy for the people to cope with, so it'll be good. And afterwards, they saw that it's not so acceptable. The people are having difficulty coping with it. The decree is null and void. They have no jurisdiction to force this decree on the people. So what do we see from here? That when the Chachomim come, we're talking about the Sanhedrins, the Sanhedrin Agdola, the Sanhedrin Tana, when the Chachomim come to make their decrees, and their decrees were, this is Moshe Rabbeinu in his court. No matter how good it is, they have to see if the people can carry it. What happens if a minority can carry it, some can carry it, but the others can't? La'olam, they're never allowed to make such a decree. What happens if they mistakenly made it? Hareza betela, it's bottle. It doesn't even say it has to be rescinded. It says it's bottle. It's null and void. This is similar to what we spoke about actually at the last week at the Reish Kedish banquet. We mentioned there was one time that there was a certain group that came to the Rav of the city and they wanted him to enact a certain thing, something in the abattoir, which was a hider, a chumra, and it was good for them, but would not have been good for the majority of the community, and he refused to do so. They went and they complained to Rav Gifter. Says, the Rav is not accommodating us. Rav Gifter told him. He says, if I state, a Rav darf sein a Rav über die ganze Stadt. A Rav has to be a Rav for the whole city, not just for you. He has to see what's good for the majority, not what's good for the minority. That's his halacha. Now here, what are we doing? You have to be careful not to place too heavy of a load, of a burden on a Jew. When it comes to mitzvahs, we're talking about mitzvahs here. Let's go to another case. More in Baba Kama. Now, what about a Baal Tshuva? The Gemara says in Baba Kama that in enacted, this is a Gemara in Perak Gezla 18, Sadi Dalit Omid Beis, where it enacted what it called Takonas Hashovim. What are Takonas Hashovim? The halacha is like this. There's three halachas. If someone would steal, let's say, a plank of wood, and he still has the wood, the halacha is he has to give it back. Second halacha is, if someone would steal a plank of wood, and he would use it to make something, he would put it in his building to build, or he would put it in a piece of furniture to build. But he could still remove that board, and it would be intact. So according to the halacha, he would have to remove that board and give it back. But if he comes to do tshuva, so the Chachomim said, he doesn't have to give back the board, he just has to pay the money. And then you accept the money from him. So he keeps the board, and you can have the money. Now why did they do that? The guy can say, look, I want my board back. Takonis hashovim. Lo hokel al balei tshuva. That even though it's shleimin adin, it's not in accordance to halacha, the Chachomim came and intervened to make the halacha easier for a person to do tshuva. That even though mitzar had, if the board is there, so then he gives the board back. But if he's already put the board into a piece of furniture, so we said, all right, you're not obligated to take your piece of furniture apart and give back the board. Just pay him the money. We want to make Avedis Hashem easier on you. Now there's a third halacha. The third halacha is, what happens if he steals something and it's not here anymore? For example, not like where the board is here and he could come and give back the board. So we say keep it. But he steals something, for example, let's say food, and he eats it. Well, now Minatora is obligated to pay for it. So there's a tremendous halacha here. The Chachomim were masakin that if he refuses to give it back, now then you can take him to court and demand the money. But if he comes on his own, he comes on his own and he says, look, I stole this food from you. I don't have the food to give back to you. But the 100 rand I give you, here's the 100 rand. The Chachomim said, you should not accept it from him. You should tell him, take it and be on your way. You should not accept it. Ein mekabli mimenu. Why? Lo hokel ala bale tshuva. To make it easier for a Jew to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. You see, if he never comes to you, he's not interested in tshuva. Then you go and you send the police after him and you demand your money. But if he comes on his own and he says, look, I took this from you, I ate it, I must pay you for it, I want to do tshuva, a mekabin. Not supposed to take it back from him. Lo hokel ala bale tshuva. The Rambam brings on this halacha Seif Perak Aleph, Migzele Va'aveda. Afal pikein im leis ha'gzele kayemes, rotsa ha'gazel naseish tshuva. If the gzele is not there anymore, and the gazel wants to do tshuva, obome elov, and he comes on his own, v'hiksa demei ha'gzele, and he comes back and gives you the money of the gzele, Takonis Chachomim he, The takon of the Chachomim is here, she'ein mekablin mimenu. You do not take the money back. Elo ozrin eisoi umeichlin lei. You help him and you forgive him. Kedei lekarav aderech hayishore al hayishovim. In order to bring those that want to do tshuva back to the right derech. V'chol ha'makabel mimenu demei hagzeila. And whoever will accept that money back, ein ruach hachomim neche imeno, the hachomim do not look upon this with favor. Whoever will say, look, he wants to give me back the money, I'll take it, the hachomim do not look at this with favor. Now what are we doing here? This is a case where we're bending the halacha in order to make it easier on a Jew to fulfill a mitzvah. Takonas hashovim. There's a discussion in this Rambam. But nevertheless, this is the Shitas HaRambam. And the source is the Gemara. We see that we are bin orum. We're using strategy to get a Jew to do a mitzvah or to do tshuva. And the strategy is to lighten the load. And here, even where we're bending the halachos. The same we find when it comes to be makabel gerim. The Gemara brings in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph and Beis. The Gemara says, when a ger or a geyoris, a prospective candidate, comes and wants to be megayer, so the first thing is we have to ask them why. Because the halacha is that you only accept gerim that are coming to be megayer l'shem shamayim, because they want to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want to be a Jew to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they come with ulterior motives, now, then lechatkila, we're not supposed to accept them. If they come because they'll have a chance to get a job better, or maybe then they'll have a good shidduch or something else like that, now, then lechatkila, we're not supposed to accept them. We want gerim l'shem shamayim, but they do not have ulterior motives. But ger shebol is gaya, emrim lo maro iso. Why are you coming to be magaya? And we tell them, it's not easy to be a Jew and so forth and so on. Why are you coming? If they say, I'm coming because I want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I recognize that this is the best way and this is the true way, and I want to be part of Klal Yisrael so I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we see there's no ulterior motives. All right. Then we have to let them know what they're in for. So be realistic. So it states, you've got to tell them some of the mitzvahs. You tell them that before, if you ate treifas and aveilus, you didn't do an aveira. Now you'll be punished. Before, you didn't keep Shabbos, was fine. Now you don't keep Shabbos, you'll be punished. What, are you sure you want to get involved all of this? Before, you didn't have to give peyosh, leket peyosh, shikho peyosh, you didn't have to give from your field to the poor. Now you have to. And so on. So it states a principle. It says, Medina son, mixas mitzvahs chamures, u mixas mitzvahs kales, Medina son onshin shel mitzvahs, u schar mitzvahs. You tell them a few of the difficult mitzvahs and a few of the easy mitzvahs. You tell them the difficult punishments, a few of the difficult punishments, and a few of the rewards. Why? You must balance it. You can only tell them the difficulties. No. You can't, on the other hand, only tell them the good parts, because that's not true. That's been unrealistic. There's just like this schar, there's onish. Just like there are easy mitzvahs, there are difficult mitzvahs. So you must tell them both. Then it states, ve'ein marbin olov, ve'ein medaktikan olov. And after you've told them a little of all of this, it says, then you leave them alone. don't go over. You don't tell them too much. So the Gemara says, why? The Gemara says, where do we know this from? So Gemara says, we know this from Rus. Because Rus wanted to be Megayer. And Omi told her, no, there are no ulterior motives why you should be Megayer. I have no children for you to marry. I have no money left. All my fields were taken. My animals were taken. You'll come to a strange land. There's no ulterior motive. She says, still, I want to be Megayer. I want to come and be part of Klal Yisrael. So she told her, do you know what the halachas are? She told her some of the difficult halachas, some of the easy halachas. Then it states, Vateira ki misametzes hi lalechas ito, vatechta ledaber eleho. Naomi saw that she is very, very earnest and sincere that she wants to go with her to become a Yisraelis. She stopped speaking to her. Why did she stop speaking to her? Because you tell them enough, but not too much. Lest you drive them away. The Rambam brings on this halacha. In Perek Yud Dalet of Isuri Bia, he says, "Be'ein medakti nolov, be'ein medakti nolov." You don't overdo it. Why? Shema yigrom letardai ulatoisoi miderech tova lederech ro. Because if you're too hard on them, then they want to come and do something good. If you're too tough on them, you can drive them away from doing something good. And that's a great evil. You'll be responsible. That's why you have to be very careful. You can't tell them everything is easy and there's nothing to it. This is not true. You have to find out if they're L'shem Shemayim. But once you know that they're L'shem Shemayim and they have a realistic idea of what they're in for, then the halacha is you have to be careful. Because if you're too hard on them and too tough on them, they're coming to do a great mitzvah, to come under the Shechina, and you are driving them away. You're placing too heavy of a burden on them. And that's why you don't tell them all 613 mitzvahs. Then the Rambam writes, "Betchila ein moshkin es ha'odem ele bedivrei rotzein verachim." When you want to bring someone close to the Torah, you have to do it with words of kindness, with words of softness. "V'chein hu eime bechav le'odem em shochem." You woo him to the Torah. Afterwards, then he can come under the Ola. So this is where you start. Mi'at, mi'at. This is with a ger. This is with a bal tshuva. This is with a child. You don't let the whole Torah drop on him where it becomes something that he cannot carry and then it crushes them. We have to make it as easy as possible for him. We find that this is what Hillel did. We know the story in Perek Bama Madlikin, Daf Lamed Aleph. Three candidates came to Hillel on Shammai, and each one had very, very strange requests. One said, "Teach me the whole. I'll become a ger if you'll teach me the whole Torah on one foot." And the other one says, "I'll become a ger if I can become a Kain Godel." And the other one said, "I'll become a ger if But I only want the Torah Shebikshav, the written law, not the Torah Shebalpeh. And Shammai drove them all out. Hillel said, fine, wonderful. He sat down and learned with them, and eventually they became Gerei Tzedek. Now, Rashi and Tosfos ask a kasha there, that L'cheira Hillel did Shalei Kedim. It was against the halacha what Hillel did, because they had ulterior motives. This one wanted to be a Kain Gadol. Or, it says that if a person comes to be a Magayer, and he says, I'll accept all of the mitzvahs except one, no, you reject him straight out. Here he said, I'll only accept it toward the written law, but not the oral law. So Rashi and Tosfos ask. Both of them answer. Rashi there and Tosfos in Menachas Dav Mem Dalet Omer Aleph. No, in Yevamos Chav Dalet Aleph. He said, they both say, Hillel was somach al chokmosei shesefei shiagilenu lekabel alof. Hillel saw in these three people, he saw that they had a good heart and a good soul. And really, they would become very good geirim. He said, give me time with them. I'll make them while they want to become geirim l'shem shamayim. He used orma, used strategy. And that's why he sat down with them, he learned with them, he befriended them, and ultimately he brought them. And then Tosfos says the same thing. There's a case in Menachos where there was a woman where she became so impressed, the whole story there, but she became so impressed with a Talmud of one of the great sages, that eventually she gave up everything. She was a Roman woman. She gave up everything. And she went to the yeshiva, to the sage, and she said, I want to be Magayer. And he said, why? He says, because I want to marry the Talmud. So he should have rejected her. No, he accepted her. Also because he saw that given the right strategy and the right approach, he can make something great from her. And she'll be L'shem Shemayim. This is what Tosfos says. Another such example. In the Mishnah Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis, Ben Azay Omer, Ben Azay said, Havirotz L'mitzvah Kala. A person should run, pursue an easy mitzvah. Because mitzvah gereres mitzvah, one mitzvah draws the other. Now what does it mean he should pursue an easy mitzvah? Better he should pursue a hard mitzvah. Why an easy mitzvah? So the Maral says, because this is a strategy against the Yetzer Hara. This is to make Avodas Hashem easy. If you pursue a hard mitzvah, you might not be successful in fulfilling it. If you pursue an easy mitzvah, you will be successful in fulfilling it. And mitzvah gereres mitzvah. One mitzvah brings another mitzvah. So this is a very good strategy in how to get mitzvahs. Understand? If you go, a person goes for a hard mitzvah. Or he goes for hidurim. Or he goes for chumras or whatever they might be. Well, it's a very good thing, but he's trying to lift a couple of 100 kilograms on his shoulders. Could be successful, but it could crush him too. It's all or nothing. One day he had enough and holakla, he gives up everything. But if you go for small mitzvahs, that's easy. And then mitzvah gereres mitzvah, one mitzvah draws the other mitzvah with it. Oh, this is an eitzah. It's a tachbolus, it's a strategy. Who said this? Ben Azai. Who was Ben Azai? You know who Ben Azai was? Ben Azai was the one who said that Nafshi Chot, Ben Azai, it states, when Ben Azai died, Botlu Hashakdonim. When Ben Azai lived, there was what was known as a Shakton. A Shakton was a degree of dedication to the learning of Torah that no one ever equaled. And he brought up the whole generation. The Mishnah says when he died, the whole generation dropped when it came to the dedication of learning of Torah. Ben Nazai said, I cannot marry because nafshi choshke b'Torah, I am like married to the Torah. And this same Ben Azai is telling you, that was learning 24 hours a day, is telling you, go after an easy mitzvah. What do you mean go after an easy mitzvah? He should tell you go after all the chumras in the world, all the durim in the world. Make it hard. Have we wrought the mitzvah kala? Go after an easy mitzvah. This was Ben Azai. The Maral brings that in Avodas Hashem, a person has to know how to answer his Yetzer Hara, how to be mevatel his Yetzer Hara, the Tainus HaYetzer. And therefore, he has to make what he's doing palatable in order that the Yetzer Hara shouldn't come and scoff him and say, what are you wasting your time with this for? What good is this? Why are you doing that? Better you should do this. Person sits down and learns. Yetzirah says, you know, you could be out there in the marketplace making money. You could be in university becoming a doctor or a chartered accountant. Person sits in one yeshiva, the Yetzirah says, but you could be in that other yeshiva doing even better. If he's here, he'll say, well, you could be in Bnei Barak. If he's in Bnei Barak, he'll tell him he can be in Yerushalayim. Right? A person is doing this mitzvah. Why are you doing this mitzvah for? It's costing you money. Do something else. What are you closing your shop on Shabbos? The Maral says that it's a mitzvah for a person to know, to make mitzvahs palatable to himself in order to be mevatel the Tainus HaYetzer. He says, that's what the Chazal means when it says, Da Masha Toshiv L'Apokoris. Know how to answer the Apokoris, not only the other person, the Apokoris that's in the heart of the person. That's the Yetzer Hara and the Sotan. He has to know how to answer in order to make mitzvahs and Torah palatable to the person. If I keep my shop closed on Shabbos, I'll have all the Mabor. I'll even make more money by keeping my shop closed on Shabbos. And so forth and so on. Then the Maral says, but maybe that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'shem schar, for reward, not l'shem shemaim, he says, no. That's merely to destroy the strategy of the Yetzer Hara, which we constantly have to do. And he brings the example, he says the same thing with a child. In order to get the child to learn, you have to show him it's worthwhile. So you give him things. You give him prutis, you give him a little money, you give him a nice apple or an orange. But then when he learns, you teach him the tainug, the joy of learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That was just to get him off the ball field. To be mevatel the Tainus HaYetzer, because the Yetzirah says, look, it would be much better if you're on the soccer field than being inside learning. And the Vilna Gaon, that constantly writes that you should teach the children how to do mitzvahs lishma, writes that. That when you learn with children, you have to make it simcha for them. Give them money. Give them apples. Make the mitzvahs easier for them. As easy as possible. The Gaon himself, in many, many places, the Gaon was the Ben Azai of our times. He writes that when it comes to learning, learn something that's easy for you. Now, the Gaon who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, you would think he would say, learn everything, and no matter how difficult it is. He says, learn something that's easy for you. Because if you learn something that's too difficult, you'll close the sefer eventually and walk away from learning. This is what the Gaon writes. So always choose an easy limud, as you grow in learning, so the more difficult limudim will become easy for you. But this is the Derech HaTorah. And the Gaon writes in Mishlei, in the beginning of Mishlei, he writes, in Pasuk Beis, he says that Lodas Chochma Umusa Lohovin Imre Vina, that a person has to study Moser and to understand Bina. Bina, he says, is the Torah, so he will grow Kederech HaTorah. What does that mean, Kederech HaTorah? He says, Te'al Tiyat Tzadik Harbe, where he will not be too righteous and take upon himself more than he's obligated to. Then he writes in Mishlei, Yutes Beis, he writes, Gam b'lei das nefesh lei tov v'otz b'raglaim chote. If you do something without das, he says that means if you do a mitzvah without knowing the Torah of the mitzvah, like we've spoken many times, kineh mitzvah v'torah or. If you do a mitzvah without knowing the Torah of the mitzvah, the nefesh lei tov, it doesn't do good for your nefesh. He says your nefesh has no desire for it. The otz beraglaim choteh. Otz beraglaim is someone who jumps. He says someone who jumps. When it comes to perfecting the person, ein tzorech leilech b'midas, ach tzorech leilech b'midas midager ledager k'mahelech b'sulam. A person climbs to perfect himself. It has to be like he's climbing a ladder, step by step. He should not try to climb the ladder by skipping a step. Because then he will be chayter, which means chosa mikol, ki yipol mimenu. He will fall and lose everything. Now, this means that when a person, like we said, a person grows in Avedis Hashem, it's climbing a ladder, step by step, step by step. Don't try to skip one or two steps. You think you'll get there faster, you're liable never to get there, because the guy can fall and break his neck. He'll never get to where he wants to go. This is what the Vilna Gaon is saying. Who came to higher levels than him? We have people that, now, how do you get to higher levels? When they're amaratzim, they must learn Kabbalah. This is how you get to higher levels. Or when they balei tshuva, or still plain people, they must fulfill a mitzvah with 100 hidurim. This is how you get there. This is what the Gaon writes on that posuk. Now, there are many, many such sources, but I think we've quoted enough. It's for this reason that we have in all of the halacha and sforim, there are many, many things that are brought, which are brought, this is for a bal nefesh, this is for anshei maisa. In other words, this is not for everyone. This is for someone who's on a high level. This is for someone who is a great person. Now, here's this principle. That we see that with this soldier, the Torah was afraid to place too heavy of a load on him. Therefore, it wiped off a halacha in the Torah. And what kind of a halacha did it wipe off? halacha of a chiyuv misha, capital punishment. Yehoreg mal yavor, wiped off. Because this was too much from him. Better wipe it off, otherwise he can be crushed under the whole load. Now, like I mentioned, we can't go and eradicate mitzvahs in the Torah. We see that the Chachamim tampered with mitzvahs in the Torah, this we see. For example, here, when it came to Mammon, the person, money was stolen from the person. And still they told him not to take it back in order to help the Baal Tshuva and so forth. So the Chachamim, to a certain extent, can tamper with the halachas. We can't. But within the confines of the halacha, we see this principle. Don't undertake a heavy load more than you can carry. Lighten the load as much as possible. If you lighten the load, then you can grow. If you cause the load to be heavy, you can become crushed. This is in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is in Midas, this is in Madregas, this is in Mitzvahs, this is in Limud Torah. This is what Ben Azai said. Seek a light mitzvah, an easy mitzvah. If you fulfill an easy mitzvah, that'll take you to the more difficult mitzvahs. If you seek the difficult mitzvah, you'll have enough. You've had your fill, you've had enough, v'holachle, and you walk away like we see so many times. So this is the principle that we see over and over again. Now, on this, you can be wondrous on the generation that we live in today. Because the generation that we live in today is just contrary to this. This was the derech all of the time, across the board. When I was in yeshivas, by the Litvisha, and by the Polish, and by the Hasidim, this was the derech all of the time. You didn't give people hard mitzvahs. You didn't give people mitzvahs that were more difficult than they could handle. You didn't make mitzvahs more difficult. They always tried to make mitzvahs easy. The fact is, it was commonplace. Commonplace. That a rabbi will tell you, this is good enough for you. This is enough for you. Don't do more. He'll do more, but you don't do more. This was commonplace. Everybody knew that. A Rav had to do more. A Talmud Chacham had to do more. Maybe it's this democracy that distorts our vision. But everybody knew what I can do, what a Talmud Chacham can do. I can do what a Rav can do. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktek im svivav kechut asaro. With those that are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he judges them by the breadth of a hair. So naturally, a tzaddikim are expected more. We see Moshe Rabbeinu, what did he do? So he hit the stone. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Yan le'emantim bi, you didn't believe in me. Kodesh Baruch Hu accused him of emuna, Moshe Rabbeinu. Dover HaMelech, the Rambam writes, what did he do? He didn't do any avera. Kodesh Baruch Hu accused him of stealing someone's wife and of adultery. He says it was no Aveda that he did. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's medaktek im tzadikov kechut hasara. So now comes a young person, a youngster, an amoretz, or whoever it is. What I should do, what he does. This was commonplace. Talmud Chacham did more. He kept mitzvahs on a much fuller basis. He had his chumras, he had his idurim. But this was not only it was not demanded from the populace, and not only it was not expected from the populace, and not only they themselves would tell you, no, this is plenty for you this is good. But they were scoffed at. When I was in the yeshiva, in all circles, they were laughed at and scoffed at when the populace would undertake such things. People would say, what, you hold yourself for a rov? Hold yourself for a Talmud Chacham? The Gemara brings a curse on a person who's mis'atef betalis shel gedolim, that puts on a talis of a godel. to make himself look like a godel. And that's, and the Gemara says a person not allowed to do that because it's mexic yahora, the Gemara says. It's arrogance. This was always. In our generation, you have, it seems, people are given the understanding that the more difficult the mitzvah is, the more holier the mitzvah. The more hidurim, the more holier. The more chumras, the more holier. And they keep adding and adding and adding until it crushes people. It crushes people and people run away. Besides the fact that many times when they add all of these chumras, they're boiling their coolers. They think they're doing chumras, but meanwhile they're transgressing other averos. For example, the Pinchas Scheinberg. He's from the great Gaonim of the generation. He wrote. He says, people today, when it comes to Pesach, Erev Pesach, they do things which are totally not required, totally not required. They burn themselves out. So when it comes to the Pesach Seder, they cannot fulfill mitzvahs that are not only required midrabbonim, but even min haTorah. For example, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah min haTorah that comes once a year. They're so burnt out that they don't know what they're doing at the Seder because they've been scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing for 30 days doing things which are not required. He writes, doing things not required, not min haTorah, not min Rabbonim. Or, for example, he says Simcha Shantiv. Today, what woman loves Pesach? What woman? A Rav once told me in this city, a Rav once told me. I don't want to say who. I asked him, how was your Pesach? He says, thank God it's over. This is V'shamachta b'chagecho, a mitzvah min haTorah, and that was because it was such a Rav that took on 1,000 chumras. So then, thank God it's over. This is Avedis Hashem. And then, with Balei Tshuva, you bring Balei Tshuva, that you, the Chachomim went to be Mater Mom in Yisrael to make it easy for them, and they give them mitzvahs and hidurim and chumras that the Zakeini Yisrael were hardly, the Zakeinim were hardly fulfilled. This is what you see. I don't know where this comes from. This never was. And it's totally hepich, it's contrary to what Chazal teaches. When it comes to kashers, they add on all kind of chumras, and you get a lot of people that are newly coming to kashers, and they say, no, this is, we can't handle this. We'll go back to the treifas that we had before. Driving away people from Torah. Now, it's not only in amongst adults, but it's amongst children. Today you see there's an emphasis with children. Get them to do mitzvahs. Get them to do hidurim. Younger age. You're doing a good job. You'll drive them away from Yiddishkeit. You'll teach them to hate Torah and mitzvahs. That's what you're doing. It's like the Rambam brings that chas v'sholom, when it comes to a ger, don't be medaktek because they're coming to do a mitzvah and you can drive them to a derech haroh. And in learning, the Maral already wrote on this. The Maral writes, one place was in Parshas Veschanan by Vishinandam Levanecha, but wherever he gets a chance to write on it, he writes on it. In his Doryat, he writes, how can you teach children Gemara? The Chazal said, Chomesh Esrei leGemara, 15 years, they're ready for Gemara. How do you teach children Gemara? How do you teach children Gemara before they've learned Mishnah? He says, how do you teach them Gemara before they've learned Chumash? And he writes, and he uses this lashon, he says, a Chazal measured carefully the old Shahayedl Yochol Loses, the burden which he can carry, in order not to place a burden on a shoulder which cannot carry. And you go along and you put on the Tinaik a burden which will crush him, And then you wonder why there's no Torah in the world. This is what he's writing in 1500. And by us today, you see, now, the earlier the better. The earlier the better. Because Hazal didn't know what they were talking in different times. It doesn't apply. But Chal, they didn't know what they were talking about and so forth. And this is all done in the name of Frum Ayin. See, Frumkeit, Frum Ayin. I had two young Rosh Hashivas visit me here. It already was 7, 8, or 9 years ago. And they told me they representing a yeshiva in Kiryat Elston. I asked them, what kind of yeshiva is it? He said, it's not a regular yeshiva. It's not from the non-regular yeshivas. So I thought they meant what you would call a Haredish yeshiva. So I say, well, what is it, a B'nai Akiva yeshiva? No, it's not a B'nai Akiva yeshiva. Well, I know there's a so-called Haredish yeshiva, there's a B'nai Akiva yeshiva. So I said, is it about tshuva yeshiva? No, it's not about tshuva yeshiva. Now they got me interested. So I said, what kind of yeshiva is it? He said, it's for yeshiva dropouts. I said, explain what you mean, yeshiva dropouts. He says it's for teenagers that come from totally Haredish families that went to Haredish yeshivas and they dropped out. Not only did they drop out from yeshivas, they dropped out from Yiddishkeit. We have a yeshiva to get them back in the fold. So I was naive. I says, is there such a thing? He says, you don't know. There's such a thing, it's a big thing, they said. It's a big thing. So I says, well, tell me about it. I says, why are they dropping out? He says, there's different reasons. But the senior one told me, I'll give you my opinion why. Because they were sent to a yeshiva. They were forced to sit and learn Gemara years before they were capable of learning Gemara, as young kids. They had no background for the Gemara. They had never learned much Chumash or Mishnah. So they learned to hate Gemara. So there's only so long you can keep a kid captured in school. He comes 14 years old, 15 years old. The Holachla, he's had enough. And now he has no self-respect left. Because The whole society, the only respect is if you sit and learn. And he's had enough of learning, so he goes off to who knows what. I hate to say what. This is what he told me. So I said, "Well, you're telling me what the Maral wrote in 1500. Now here, this is what the Gross said. The Gross said you should always take something easy to learn." Otherwise, if it becomes too difficult for you, the kotzlei, it'll become mo'us, it will become distasteful to you, the holachlei, and you'll leave it. I mean, Achazal has been saying that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. This is the din of Yafas Tovar. No, but the generation doesn't want to listen. Adarabha, in the name of Frumkeit, they destroy. This is what we learn from here. And we see from the Chazal just the opposite. We see the Rambam writes on the Sanhedrin Agdola. If you have something, a minog that you want to make, a gzera that you want to make, a takona you want to make, and it's good, it has to be done. Tzorech lishashev. You have to give great consultation to it. Ibrahim atzibur yuchayn lamayt boy. If it can become acceptable to the majority of the tzibor, no matter how good it is. The Gzeres were good. They wanted to be Gezer Pas Akum. They wanted to be Gezer Shemen Akum. What do you think? They weren't Chas V'Sholem idiots? This was something that the generation needed. Rabbi Yehuda Asnossis rescinded it. They had no authority to do it. And this was from the Yudkas Dvorim from Hillel and Shammai. And Doniel, because the Reva Tzibor couldn't cope with it. This is what we see consistently. And the Dor Tafeches, the upside generation that we... I've had discussions with people where they hold the ideology that, no, the harder you make it, the better it is. This is what we can learn from this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.